between the majority of the Committee of Commissioners and the Permanent Committee, and hence that's the reason we have brought it to the floor in this fashion, that the Assembly might make that interpretation, and there would be no further question about this activity, the Permanent Committee. We recognize that the Permanent Committee is in a bind in terms of general fund expense money to support the travel of our itinerating missionaries. As we interpreted their action, it was not just a matter of a bookkeeping accounting, but rather it was something that could appear to be a little deceptive. Now, I'm not calling it deceptive. I'm just saying that it could have the appearance in this fashion. If a missionary would come to my church and we gave no support money for his travel expense, then it would be necessary for the Mission to the World Committee to add to his budget and hence make known to the churches that he needs his basic salary and expenses plus travel expense. Now, that hasn't been made clear to the churches in that fashion. And so it is for that reason, for the purpose of clarity, one, and secondly, that the Permanent Committee would have no further confusion in all the support of the Assembly, that we have brought this in this fashion to the floor.
Our time has expired on the question, and we've got three votes to take. The first vote will be on the last motion, which was introduced by Commissioner Snyder, and I'm going to ask the Assistant Clerk at three to read this one. I beg your pardon. I'm supposed to ask you if you want time extended. Does the General Assembly wish to extend the time of debate by 10 minutes? If you wish to extend the time, this is not debatable, please say aye. If you wish to vote now, please say no.
No.
The first motion will be, you have a question, Ms. Darling?
Chance to.
Let the chairman explain. Usually, didn't get a chance to. Before we vote, the chairman of the committee, standing committee, committee of commissioners, or if he wishes to designate someone, could have a last brief word.
I hope you meant chairman of the permanent committee.
Yes, sir. I'm going to tell the Assembly I have discouraged the chairman of the permanent committee because I didn't want this to seem to be a debate between the committee on one side and the Assembly on the other. I wanted the discussion within the Assembly, and that's why I have kept him from speaking, but he's got a chance. Point of order, sir? Seven.
Vaughn Hathaway, Grace Presbytery. The rules of General Assembly operation, Roman number 9, does not indicate that the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners may pass the responsibility on, only that he can designate that for answering questions, not for giving the last speech.
Since I have already allowed two or three times in this assembly a chairman of a committee of commissioners to designate someone else to speak for him, since I have already done this, I think I'm going to rule that this would have to continue to be proper unless the assembly stops me from doing it. So I'm going to rule that I have been acting properly, and if the assembly wants to overrule me, then that procedure will stop. Appeal has been made to the ruling of the moderator that this has been a proper procedure. Those who would sustain the moderator will please say aye.
Aye.
Those who will not sustain will say no. The moderator is sustained, and I will allow the chairman of the Committee on Commissioners to designate someone to speak for him if he wishes. But it'll be brief, Pete. When a missionary goes to the field, he receives an outfit allowance of $1,000 with which he is to buy personal equipment that he will need, clothing, beds, refrigerators,
vehicles, whatever he might need. You can't buy a vehicle for $1,000, okay? Some members need a car when they get to the field.
If the churches do not give the money for the car, what's the missionary going to do? We've actually had this case. This is why we're in this situation, is that a missionary has requested funds for a vehicle. The funds haven't come in. What do we do? We can tell the missionary, sorry, do the best you can, get along without it. Go to the bank there in the local country and borrow the money at whatever interest rate you'll have to pay. Do the best you can. We have taken the position that we have funds that are not yet ready to be used, that are in certificate deposit, savings account, bonds, currently drawing interest, and that we could be of service to our missionaries to take these funds out of this investment, whether it be a certificate of deposit or a bond, and put them into an investment which would be a loan to that missionary for that car. So we feel the principle is that we're trying to help the missionaries acquire a vehicle which will be used both for personal use and for mission use. It will be, their mileage will be reimbursed for any ministry use, just like your mileage or mine that we used for business purposes would be reimbursed. Good stewardship, we feel, would demand that we not lose money that we would be earning on these funds were they still invested at interest. So we have simply said we're not going to charge the amount of interest that a bank would charge, but we will simply charge the amount of interest that we would have been earning had the funds been left in their previous investment.
All right, we've got three votes to take, and we're going to take all three of them by standing, and that will be at least three good knee bends. The first one, Mr. Assistant Clerk, will you please read it?
And that the Assembly instructs the Committee on Mission to the World to cease receiving interest on loans to missionaries.
Is there any question as to the intent of this motion? All in favor of this motion, please stand. Be seated. All opposed to this motion, please stand. The motion is lost. We are back, sir. Who was that? Get up to the mic if you want that.
I like to have a count of the vote.
All of those in favor of the motion, please stand and remain in place until you have been counted. Will the tellers please come forward? Be seated. Those who are opposed to the motion, please stand and remain standing until you're counted. Watch the platform.
Mr. Moderator, I have a few announcements that I could be making at this time. I have a call for George Toonstra, and Mr. Robert Montague have something up here for you. Mr. John Sartell have a phone message for you. Committee of Commissioners for CE&T will not meet for supper at 5. will meet for supper at 5 in the private dining room number 2 on the mezzanine of the Commons. That's Commission of Commissioners on Christian Education. We'll meet at 5 in the mezzanine. Be seated. What was the count? The end total still. Still totally.
One ninth eight against 1534. The motion is law. The second motion, Mr. Assistant Clerk, are you ready to read the one that Mr. Patterson?
Strike the exceptions on page 914.
The adoption of the committee report except for the exceptions on 914. Is that correct?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys ask a question or something? 12.
Conrad Preedy, Westminster Presbytery. I have a question. I'm a little confused and need some straightening out with the help of the moderator. Does this mean that we are paying interest on church money to the church?
That isn't the proper question, sir. I'm sorry. We are going to vote on the Patterson Amendment to the adoption of the committee's report as a whole. The Patterson Amendment. All those who favor this amendment, which would have the effect of striking the exceptions, please stand. Be seated. Those who oppose the amendment, please stand. The amendment passes. The exceptions are stricken. No, sir. We are voting, and the time has expired on this. We are going to vote on the report as a whole with the exceptions stricken. Does your amendment affect adopting the report as a whole? Okay. There would have to be a motion to reopen debate. You're not. Okay. All right, motion is the report as a whole. If you favor the adoption of the report as a whole, as amended, will you please stand? And be seated. If you oppose adoption of the report as a whole, will you please stand? And be seated. The report as a whole is adopted. Does that complete your business?
It does not. Not quite.
Not quite. Man, how much you have? Microphone 10.
Live out of Central Florida says that. May I ask a question of the Assembly, please, sir, in relation to this issue? I'm a little confused because we considered two items that were very different in their content. And I would just like to ask a question if you could help me in relation to this. I feel like this usury issue, in light of Scripture, needs to be thought through a little bit. That's very different than the itineration expense. How can we bring that up possibly just for study?
You would have
so we're considering two things that are very different, and I'm concerned about that. My conscience has been pricked in relation to this. I'd like it to be thought through because of the biblical evidence.
You would have to introduce some kind of a resolution for the study of the issue of usury, and I'm afraid that would be out of order at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I did want to express my conscience on this issue.
With that on your conscience, you might go back and get an overture started.
Mr. Moderator, this would require, if he wanted to, had one ready, he could, if he had such a resolution ready, we are past the time, but the Assembly could suspend the rules and allow it to be come to the floor, but that would be the only way.
It would have to be a motion to reconsider.
Well, I meant a personal resolution about usury without necessarily reference to the mission.
Oh, without reference to this?
If we wanted to introduce an item of new business, it would take a suspension of the rules to do that.
You understand, sir? If you want to introduce an item for this assembly to consider, which is not, which would be new business, it could be done by a suspension of the rules. If you felt that you wanted to go home and perfect such a matter and bring it back in the form of a perfected overture, you could do that.
And it would take two-thirds of the total enrollment of the commissioners
to do that.
And the total enrollment is 563 now. We have 351 teaching elders, 212 ruling elders, 563.
Mr. Chairman, what do you have?
Mr. Moderator, this adopting this as a whole, I want to remind you that this is pending the receipt of the budget committee, which will be given their report later, which will include part of our report. And then one other item, the prayer that was approved by the assembly that we should remember, there's about five little petitions there that they have requested that we remember at the concluding of the adoption of our report as a whole. And it seems that one more petition should be added to that. And I'm going to ask the permanent committee chairman just to say what it is that he wishes to add to this prayer as the assembly goes into prayer. One of our missionary candidates, Glenn Kamenich, has had to leave the assembly and go to Chicago, where one of his children is in a hospital. They're doing a spinal tap at this time to find out exactly what is the problem.
When we have prayer, I'm going to ask Dr. Police to lead us in prayer. But right now, there's someone back there at 12, and I think we need to find out what he wants before we go to that. 12.
Could I have a very brief point of personal privilege?
Let's hear it.
I think it's only fair to point out that the Christian Education Committee, of which I'm a member, is also charging interest to its coordinator on a loan for his home, the purchase of his home, and I was not aware of that. As pointed out to me, I think that should be brought to the attention of the assembly. I also would just like to say that we as a denomination have prided ourselves somewhat on the fact that we have debated on the basis of Scripture from the very first assembly, but it distresses me when a passage of Scripture is read, there's no mention of the Scripture, no attempt to give any other interpretation to refute it, to contradict it. We would not argue on the basis of Scripture.
We'll take that into account, Mr. Snyder, and consider the proper advice. Are we ready for that prayer, Mr. Chairman?
We are ready, sir.
Dr. Fleece, will you lead us in prayer? Will the assembly please stand?
In order to be definite in our petition, I would like to request that we have a moment for silent prayer before I lead, and that during that moment I read these specific requests. Will you pray for each one silently? Praising Him for His blessings upon our growing commitment to world evangelization. Seeking His continued blessings upon our efforts to recruit cross-cultural church planters. Seeking the outpouring of His Spirit upon our churches. Creating desire to fulfill our responsibilities in meeting the needs of our missionaries in proclaiming Christ's gospel around the world. Asking His protection and care over the staff of MTW and their families, and His blessing upon their ministry to the missionaries, the candidates, and the churches at home. Submitting ourselves to Him for whatever changes in our plans or lifestyle He wants to make to further the advancement of His kingdom through world missions. And this final request concerning the family of Glenn Kamenich, in particular, the child who is sick. Now, Father, we thank Thee for this amazing privilege and activity of prayer, that we can speak to Thee upon the earth with our lips, and the Almighty hears and answers from heaven. through the infinite merit alone of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us, we have brought to thee in our hearts these requests. Lord, in thy mercy, in thy love, we commend to thee the persons and the purposes for which we have just prayed. And our Father, with thanksgiving that it is thy provision for us that we may have prayer, and that prayer is to be fundamental, not supplemental, we ask unitedly now that thou wilt make it this way in the lives of each one of us. Thou art not interested in what we do until thou art satisfied with what we are. Make us, gracious God, not men who want to be known as men of prayer, but make us men of prayer. And then our activity will be limitless in accomplishing all the will of God. Lord, work in us this way. And our prayer we bring to thee unitedly as brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. The Ad Interim Committee on Offices in the Church. It is in the handbook supplement. And Chairman, Ruling Elder J.R. Ayers, Alexandria, Louisiana. Pretty good man.
Moderator, and brethren, Dick Ayers from Louisiana Presbytery, the chairman of the committee on the number of offices. You can find our report by turning to the last half of your handbook.
Lead us in prayer. You're going to lead us in prayer.
I'm going to. Before we begin our report, I'd like to, for us to bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just confess our inability to deal with any of these matters except as you provide us with the wisdom and knowledge and power of your Spirit. We pray for that now as your humble servants in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As chairman of this committee, I'll take full responsibility for its length, but I also want credit for having given you a subject of conversation for 3 days. And I want also to urge you to seriously consider this report, because I hope to be able to take you through it in such a way that we can dispense with the problem of its length and get to the meat of it. Turn with me to page 2101 in the handbook. Now, the Fifth General Assembly for the third year assigned this duty to a group to try to determine the structure of the church and the number of offices. You'll see right at the top in the introduction the five things that were assigned to us. The committee's minority report, the Fifth General Assembly advocating the the two opposite views was something we should study. Additionally, the classic three opposite view, the triune opposite view, the office of deacon, as reflected in Overture Number 6, page 30 and 31, the minutes of the Fifth General Assembly, and the view recognizing the important, great importance of the basic office of all Christians. The committee as a whole agreed on what you see before you as a joint preamble. They agreed that we must distinguish between the general ministry of all believers and the special ministry of special ministers of the church, and that all believers are appointed to be prophets, priests, and kings to the glory of the triune God. As we debated within the committee to determine what this structure should be, we came across a number of possibilities, largely brought out by previous committee reports as well as by some members who were on our committee this year. They're listed for you in the middle of the joint preamble as five possibilities. There are certainly other possibilities, but these were five possibilities that we had to deal with. You can see them. They're there for you to read, and you've had them in your hands for several days. I won't read them. Now, as the committee considered these views, they ran into some problems. And in order to try to determine where we could go, we had to isolate the problem. Roman numeral 3 spells out the first of those problems, that within the views, that the principal issue was not how many different offices there are within the church, but rather whether some elders can perform certain functions that others may not perform. The second problem that we ran into as we tried to deal with the first problem is that we found various committee members arriving at different conclusions using the same scriptures and different interpretations of these scriptures. And a word that you preachers will love, you teaching elders will love, the word hermeneutic. But to a ruling elder such as myself, I had to think about this word for a while. And what we were dealing with was the science of scriptural interpretation, and we had scientists on both sides. That's as far as the committee could go jointly. We move into the majority report, which I'm going to not read to you, but to present to you in its highlights. We're now in the middle of page 2101. Paragraph 1. The majority of the committee affirms that there is a distinction in the Bible between ruling and teaching elders. This distinction is reflected in 1 Timothy 5:17, but is drawn from the study of Scripture as a whole, from Genesis through Revelation. Skipping then down one paragraph, I'll try to isolate what the three questions were as they came out of the committee in dealing with the function that should be performed or not performed by different officers of the church. And what they boil down to is found in paragraph 3 in the last sentence. All of the majority will agree that this question, that is the number of offices, was not relevant to the principal issues before us, namely, 1, who may preach, 2, who may administer the sacrament, and 3, who may moderate the session. So those we found to be the substantive questions that we had to deal with. In dealing with that, now we'll skip down to these issues and observe how the committee tried to deal with the issue. We're now on the
Roman numeral, big Roman numeral, one, principal issue.
That's really not the Menorah.
And we dealt there with, in answer to the question, who may preach, we dealt there with a number of papers. Dr. Clowney from Westminster, which has been already published in previous General Assembly. We dealt with Dr. Dunkley's paper and Dr. F.N. Lee's paper. And Dr. Lee's paper, incidentally, may seem to be overwhelming to you. It was to me. However, it's very clearly indexed. In the very first part of it, on page 2152, you'll find a table of contents. And if you'll notice where we made a reference to Dr. Lee's work, you'll see a Roman numeral 3. Excuse me, I gave you the wrong number for the table of contents. It's on 2138. Now, the table of contents is there for our edification. It is long, but it is also very clear. And beginning on page 2152, you'll see that the table of contents under Roman numeral 3, which we referred to in the ministry of the word, dealt with the historic Presbyterianism on preaching by ministers alone. And we have here not an overwhelming amount of information, but simply two pages of information from Dr. Lee, with a couple of footnotes, that deal with that historic Presbyterian position. So I don't want you to be overwhelmed by that paper. Look in each case at the reference we have in Dr. Lee's paper for that Roman numeral, and you'll find it in a relatively simple way out of the table of contents. And then you will be able to determine how he speaks to these issues. Incidentally, for the purposes that we're considering today, the total out of that report will be 9 pages. A total of 9 pages. Here's 2 to be used in Who May Preach the Word. The majority in its study of the Bible found the distinctive function of preaching as distinguished from that of ruling. So we found that to be the case. The second thing that we approached was who may administer the sacrament. Once again, we found that the administration of the sacrament is a distinctive function of the ministry of the word. And we therefore reaffirmed our position with the larger catechism question 176, that the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are to be dispensed by ministers of the gospel and by none other, and with the Westminster Confessional Standards, Chapter 27. For references in here, we have a paper attached, Donald Dunkley, who may administer the sacrament, and Dr. Lee, who may minister of the word, Roman numeral 4, you'll find that on page 2154, and it has 4 pages in it. The third item we dealt with, who should serve as moderator of local sessions. The majority of the committee believes that the Bible does hold a distinctive function of the ministry of the word as distinguished from the ruling elders, and finds that there is biblical teaching that whenever the minister is present, he must moderate the local session meeting. And our references there are the papers attached and Dr. Lee's paper, Roman numeral 5, found on page 2158, and it has 3 pages. So I urge you, as you consider this work, not to just dismiss
the papers that have been submitted because of the volume of them, but they are, I think, will be very useful to you as you consider the work of the committee and what you should do at this time. The other issues that we dealt with were deacons. The Fifth General Assembly asked us to present a paper. You will find that attached to your handbook. Assistant pastors, we dealt with that because in some of our recommendations we felt that this had to be changed. Licensure of ruling elders, this also was dealt with in our paper. We also have the Office of All Believers, which is attached, a paper by Dr. Lee, which was requested by the Fifth General Assembly, and the nature of ordination, which had been requested by the Fourth General Assembly. Under large Roman numeral 3, we have certain recommendations. What page? Page 2102. I was wondering where those recommendations of yours were. There they are. Your recommendations are on 2102. May I interrupt you a minute?
Yes.
We have a majority report. We have what amounts to two minority reports. The majority will make its presentation, move its adoption. The minority number one is the mimeograph paper, will make its presentation, move its adoption. The minority number two, in effect, is the reprint from last year's minutes, will make its presentation and move its adoption. Now, this does not mean that we're going to read 2,192 pages or any fraction thereof. A word of explanation in regard to each, the recommendations will be read and moved, and then we will go to the minority report. Okay, Mr. Chairman? You read your recommendations and move them, but they will not be voted on until the minorities have been heard. Sir?
We might not even have to read them if the other papers are accepted.
Well, you have to present your majority to the assembly before the minority can be considered. Now, you can present it in any way you wish. You can just present them one by one, or present them in the body. If you want to, you can present them in the package, whichever way you want to present them to the assembly.
And then there's one other technicality, Robert.
You have the recommendations before you on page 2102. I will read some of them to you, and then others I will not. Recommendation number one, that the General Assembly affirms the prophethood, priesthood, and kingship of all believers as the fundamental ministry for all eternity. Number two, that the General Assembly affirm that scriptures teach the distinction between the ruling and teaching elders. Number three, that the General Assembly encourage each presbyter in session to conduct training workshops for elders and deacons, stressing the area of scriptural requirements for each office, knowledge of the Westminster Standards and the Book of Church Order, and matters of practical application of shepherding the flock. Number four, that the General Assembly call attention to each session to the provisions of the Book of Church Order 25:1-4 relative to the procedures for the nomination and election of men to the ruling eldership and diaconate, and encourage them to seek every possible way of ensuring that only those who are qualified and trained serve in these offices in the future. Number five, that the General Assembly reaffirms the scriptural and historic position expressed in the Larger Catechism, question 158, that none should preach the gospel but those who are called and gifted by God, and therefore only those men who are ordained to the ministry of the word or are licensed to preach can preach in the pulpits of the TCA, and that ruling elders be encouraged to renew the scriptural and historic practice of exhorting the people of God. Number six, that the Book of Church Order be revised so as to delete all reference to office
and thus to remove the question of the number of offices in chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. Then we have a series of revisions there, going down the rest of that page, 2102, and up to the top of page 2103, which would accomplish that and would go then to be considered by other parts of this body. I will not read those. Recommendation number 7, that the General Assembly answer overture number 11 to the First General Assembly from the Michael Wayne Memorial Presbyterian Church, Pensacola, Florida, in the negative. You'll find that on page 41. You can make yourself a note. Number 8, that the General Assembly answer overture number 4 to the Second General Assembly from the First Presbyterian Church, Belzona, Mississippi, as follows. That request number 1 be answered in the negative. At request number 2, we would affirm that it is proper for a minister of the word to accept a call to such functions as the following: missionary, evangelist, chaplain, military, institutional, church executive or administrator, seminary professor, teacher of Bible or religion in college, university, or Christian school. You'll find that on page 42 as you consider that overture. Number 9, that the General Assembly affirm that it is in keeping with the scripture and confessional standards of the church that only preaching elders may administer the sacrament. Number 10, that the General Assembly affirm that the purpose of licensure is to test for a definite period of time the gifts and calling of a man seeking ordination in the PCA, and that the practice of licensing ruling elders not seeking to become teaching elders be discontinued. Number 11, that the General Assembly give initial approval to the following change in the Book of Church Order, submitted to the various presbyteries for approval and then submitted to the 1979 General Assembly for final approval and inclusion in the Book of Church Order, deleting section 20-2 and renumbering the following sections accordingly. Number 12, that the General Assembly affirmed that since the Book of Church Order states explicitly in section 17-2, quote, the government of the church is by officers gifted to represent Christ, and the right of God's people to recognize by election to office those so gifted is inalienable. Therefore, no man can be placed over a church in any office without the election or at least the consent of that church. And since the present practice of allowing for the calling to office of an assistant pastor merely by a vote of the session of the church is inconsistent with this section of the Book of Church Order, this practice should be eliminated and that only the titles of pastor and associate pastor be recognized. This does not preclude, however, the hiring of non-ordained personnel by the session to carry out specific functions within the church. Examples: youth ministry, Christian education directors, administrative assistants. A candidate for the gospel ministry desiring to learn from working with an experienced minister of the word may be licensed to preach by the presbytery and may be employed by the session and then can serve as an unordained pastoral assistant. Number 13, that the General Assembly give initial approval to the following changes in the Book of Church Order, submit them to the various presbyteries for their approval, and then to the 1979 General Assembly for final approval. And these have to do with eliminating the idea of an assistant pastor. I want to make just one or two remarks before moving the adoption of this, or should I move it?
No, you move the adoption of this, and any closing remarks you may wish to make, and I'm going to ask the Assembly if it wishes to consider the minority report.
I move the adoption of the report.
Do you have any closing comments you want to make? A motion has been made for the adoption of the report that carries the consent of the committee. Do you have anything real quick that you want to say in conclusion?
About 30 seconds.
30 seconds, good.
Gentlemen, I'm a ruling elder who has been refereeing a theological wrestling match. Now, gentlemen, with the various papers and studies that have been presented over a period of 4 years, we've still come to no agreement on all of the aspects, or even a major portion of the aspects of this question. And I submit to you that we're not going to come to an incontrovertible and totally agreeable conclusion on these things. We are in agreement on some things, but we are
in disagreement on a number of things, and we're not going to solve them with another year of theological wrestling. If it is the object of this study to bring our
structure into conformity with the Scripture, we've been unable to agree on exactly what the Scriptures say. If it is the object of this study to upgrade the position, the office of ruling elder to a higher one, and thereby to elicit a better performance out of ruling elders, I think it's an error. It would be somewhat like taking a member of your church and putting him on the diaconate, because then he would have a job and that would make him do a better, go to work and help the church. Gentlemen, we should look to our nominations, elections, and training of our elders to achieve that end. I urge you, whatever you do today, to bring to an end this four-year study and vote conclusively not to talk about it anymore.
Now, I am looking for someone who would come and who would say words to this effect. Mr. Moderator, I have a minority report, and I ask the Assembly to receive for consideration this minority report. Yes, sir. Five.
I don't want to take the place of a man who signed the minority report. I'm afraid I'm not acquainted with them by sight. If there's one who signed the minority report, I beg your pardon.
Mr. Moderator.
Just a minute. State Clerk.
What we have before us is the same thing you had with regard to new business. Robert says the body is to vote as to whether they will receive. That's not voting on approving it, but whether you will receive the minority report. And that's what the moderator is calling for at this point, a motion as to whether you will admit that report now to come to the floor.
To be considered.
To be considered.
Microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, John Snyder from Ascension Presbytery. I would like to move that the General Assembly admit for hearing the minority report on the Committee of Number of Church Offices.
If you get a second, I will let you make a presentation of it. You have a second. You can make a presentation of it with your recommendations. I trust you do not have in mind reading that whole thing.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I'd like to make some opening remarks just briefly before I go to the recommendations of the minority.
Point of order number 7. Mike 7. All right.
Vaughn Hathaway Grace Presbytery.
Oh,
we must vote before we can hear him.
Absolutely. If you will receive for consideration a minority report, will you say aye?
Aye.
You will not. Will you say no? We will receive for consideration a minority report.
All Thank right. you, Mr. Moderator.
You will be brief, my brother.
Yes, I will. One of the things I wanted to mention before I get to the recommendations of the report is that this committee has been working on something that has been traditionally and biblically argued throughout the past 300 years. It's something I am sure that each person in this assembly has taken into consideration over the past 4 years that we've been discussing it within the PCA. I would like to say that the work that we have put into this thing has been by the blessing of God, and that we hope, as the minority, that what we have presented to you is in truly aligned with Scripture, and that the Holy Spirit has guided us in what we've done. If you would turn on to page 9 of the report, I failed to number the bottom of the pages, so it would be page 9 in the upper portion of the paper.
The mimeographed pages you have He's referring to the mimeographed pages, page 9, part Roman numerals 3, I presume.
Yes, sir. The first page of that mimeograph sheet has been renumbered on the bottom to 2193. You can, yes. Renumbering consecutive order from there. Okay, page on part 3, recommendations to the General Assembly. The committee makes the following recommendations to the 6th General Assembly concerning the adopting of policy and providing for its implementation through changes in the Book of Church Order. Recommendation number 1, that the General Assembly affirm that the Scriptures teach that there are but 2 ordinary and perpetual offices in the Church, the office of elder and the office of deacon, and that the Scriptures also teach that some elders serve as elders who get their living from the gospel. Recommendation number 2, that the General Assembly adopt the minority's proposed responses to overtures and questions A, B, C, and D, dealing seriatim as contained in part 4 of this report. Recommendation number 3, whereas the Scripture clearly supports the validity of church courts, session, presbytery, General Assembly, as necessary and abiding institutions of the visible church, and whereas Scripture speaks of holding communicant membership in terms of the congregation rather than the church court, we therefore recommend that presbytery membership roles be discontinued, and all elders on these roles be given letters of transfer to the session of the congregation where they commune. Recommendation number 4, whereas the Scripture makes no provision for presbytery membership being representative in nature, but rather teaches that presbytery is the elders assembled, we recommend that all elders be charged with the responsibility of actively participating in the functions of presbytery. Recommendation number 5, whereas in cases where Scripture gives no clear instruction, we are bound to act in Christian prudence ordered by the general rules of the Word. And quote from Westminster Confession. We recommend that voting in presbytery be representative in character, and that 2 session appointed elder delegates be entrusted with votes for the congregation which they represent. Recommendation number 6, that upon approval of this report, it be turned over to the Constitutional Documents Committee for the purpose of bringing the Book of Church Order into harmony with the Scriptures. Recommendation number 7, that upon approval of this report, the General Assembly be charged with the responsibility of bringing the Westminster Standards into harmony with the teachings of Scripture on these matters. Part 4, specific responses to overtures and motions assigned to this committee.
Mr. Snyder, let me suggest, sir, unless the Assembly objects, that you summarize from the therefore your response to that overture on page 11. Is that what you're getting ready to do?
Yes, sir. I'll
just summarize what it's about and what you're recommending.
Okay, the overture deals with the who can moderate a local session, and we have the following 2 paragraphs below item A. Well, counting item A are our response to that overture. I will leave it for your reading if it's pleasing the moderator.
Go ahead.
Okay. Since the Bible only teaches only one unified office of elder, this time, and since the session of a local church is composed of such elders, regardless of their other gifts and functions, it should be therefore right of the local session to elect its own moderator. Now, I will leave it at that, and I will let the Assembly, at their own leisure, continue with the reading of that. And all it is doing is reinforcing what the first sentence has said, that since all elders are equal, that any elder can be elected by the local session to be its moderator. Overture 4 from the First Presbyterian Church in Belzoni, Mississippi, deals with 4 various aspects. The first one deals with the ordination and with ordination. In answer to request number 1, we would affirm that ordination is to an office and not to a function, and the office of elder ideally, at least, includes certain functions which are listed in Scripture. And below that, I have given the Scripture pertaining to the sentence I have just read. In answer to request number two, we would again affirm that ordination is to an office and not to a function. However, since the office of elder includes various functions, not limited to the pastorate, we would affirm that it is proper for elders to get their living from the gospel to be ordained upon satisfactory evidence of the call to one of the following functions, that being missionary, evangelist, chaplain, church executive or administrator, seminary professor, teacher of Bible or religion in a college or university, headmaster or teacher in a Christian day school. In answer to question number three, since both historically and by definition, the concept of parity does not refer to equality of numbers, but rather equality of condition, rank, value, etc. And since the office of elder is not limited to the pastorate, therefore the current practice of the church to permit elders who get their living from the gospel, other than full-time pastors, to serve on committees of the higher courts and to have franchise in those courts is in keeping with the concept of parity. In answer to request number four, we would affirm that all unordained personnel, both men and women, such as administrative assistants, directors of Christian education, secretaries, musical directors, and youth workers, teachers in the local school, church school, session-operated Christian day schools, or employees or appointees of the committees of the General Assembly or other courts of the church shall be approved and are at by and are under the jurisdiction of the session of the church to which they belong. The appropriate examination, certification, and regulation of their work shall be determined and administered by the court of committee under which they will be working. In the case of a committee employee or appointee, the type of examination, certification, and regulation will be subject to the approval of the court of jurisdiction. And finally, in response to the question raised by the motion from the floor that the First General Assembly concerning the administration of the sacraments, we would recommend the following reply. The administration of the sacraments by its nature is a proclamation of the Word of God by example and should be done in conjunction with the preaching of the Word. This practice is necessary to continue good order in the church. Therefore, the administration of the sacraments is properly the responsibility of all elders. And in response to the question by the motion from the floor at the Second General Assembly concerning the office of assistant pastor, we would recommend the following reply. Since the Book of Church Order states explicitly in section 17-2, the government of the church is by officers gifted to represent Christ and the right of God's people to recognize by election to office those so gifted is inalienable. Therefore, no man can be placed over a church in any office without the election or at least the consent of that church. And since the present practice of allowing for the calling to an office of an assistant pastor merely by vote of the session of the church is inconsistent with this section of the Book of Church Order, we would recommend that this practice be eliminated and that only the titles of pastor and associate pastor be recognized. This does not preclude, however, the hiring of non-ordained personnel by the session to carry out specific functions within the church. For example, youth ministries, Christian education directors, administrative assistants, etc. Such non-ordained personnel could be seminary-trained men who are candidates for service as preaching elders. And then if this reply is adopted by the Sixth General Assembly, we recommend that the Assembly immediately act on the following change to the Book of Church Order. And I will not go into reading that. I will just let you read it at your leisure. Mr. Moderator, I would like to move that these recommendations...
Move the adoption of the recommendations.
Yes, sir. Move the adoption of the recommendations.
Is there a second to this motion? It is seconded. Thank you, sir. Now, if you will take your place in the wing. Yes, sir.
Don Dunkley, Gulf Coast Presbytery. I thought what we would be doing would be substituting these for the original, since we have a motion before us to adopt the majority report. Would not the proper motion here be to substitute the minority report for the majority?
That would be the language, yes, sir. Yes.
That wasn't the language we were using, and
pardon.
I wanted to be
clear. The recommendations of the minority be substituted for the recommendations of the majority.
Or the whole
Thank
report,
you,
really.
Whole report, yes.
You're
right. Now just get over there. Now then,
My understanding is that we have a second minority. Who's going to speak for that? I want a presentation of the second minority in just the way we had a presentation of the first minority. Microphone 5.
Mr. Moderator, we need to reach the Reverend David Howe if he's in the room.
All right, okay. Microphone 5.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Thurston Fudge from Central Georgia Presbytery. Got it?
There you
Thurston
go.
Fudge from Central Georgia Presbytery. I'd like to offer a substitute to the main motion that the report of the ad interim committee on the number of offices in the church to the 5th General Assembly last year be adopted, and that the recommendations of that committee be approved.
Again, the language would be that the recommendations of that committee be substituted for the majority. That's the appropriate language, and that's what...
Mr. Moderator, it seems to me the way we were going to, way we should treat this is as a second minority, and you have you taken a vote as to whether you will receive the second minority report?
No, sir, not yet. We have this second minority report consisting of the report of the ad interim committee to the 5th General Assembly. Will the Assembly receive for consideration this minority report?
Todd Allen, Presbytery of Southern Florida. If I'm in order, Mr. Moderator, I'd like to make a substitute to the substitute motion.
No, sir. No, sir. We have to
decide. Can you help
first.
Me then? I want to make a motion that might deal with this, both all of these reports.
We've got to decide whether or not we're going to receive for consideration this minority report.
And that's not debatable, sir.
Is any other motion in order?
Sir?
Any other motion in order?
No, sir, no other motion. Then whether or not we shall receive for consideration this minority report. Get to the microphone, will you please, sir?
I move it. Mr. Moderator, I understand I have moved that it be received.
All right. And then you second. All right. Not debatable. If the General Assembly will receive for consideration this minority report, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no? If the Assembly will receive for consideration this minority report, will you hold up your hand? It down. If you will not, will you hold up your hand? It will be received for consideration. Now then, Mr. Chairman or Mr. Member, I believe you are a member of the committee which has been doing the study.
That is correct, Mr. Moderator.
I think now the language that you just used over the other mic would be appropriate. With any words of explanation that you might wish to attend.
All right, before I get into this, fathers and brethren, I've been on the committee for two of its 4 years. We've had three committees. The makeup for two of the years was the same. My offering of the last year's report is done with the knowledge and with the agreement of some of the members of the present committee. For 4 years, we've worked very hard on this question, and we've seen the entire spectrum, I believe, as so much as our study has allowed us, all the way from what can be referred to as the hard two-office position to the hard three-office position. I believe that this report that was offered last year and that many of you heard, very similar to the report of this year, but there are some significant differences, and it's because of that that this is being offered. The 5th General Assembly report of last year neither threatens nor elevates any office. Rather, it leaves at the present level of parity our present view of church offices, of the two offices of deacon and of elder. One of the more significant differences as we go through the report of last year, as you will notice, is in terminology. Naturally, our difficulties came a good bit from semantics and our interpretation and use of words. One of the significant
differences is the use of the word order or function. Before we get into the recommendations and the paragraph that leads into the recommendations, I'd like to comment that the report of last year can probably best be summed up as a two office and then two order or two function within the office of elder position. It takes into consideration that there are two offices scripturally, that of deacon and of elder, that within the office of elder there are clear and distinct functions referred to as an order that require different preparation, significant preparation, that require ordination by and to two different levels of court. I think this is clear, more clearly included in last year's report. If you'll turn in the copy of the minutes of last year's assembly that you have to the second page, up at the top, it's numbered 194. About halfway down the page, the paragraph that leads into the recommendations, and we'll only touch on those recommendations only so far as to have a clear understanding. We'll read all of them. The paragraph that begins in the middle of the page, it is important to note, you'll find that, it is important to note that in reaching the final conclusion and recommendation, two overriding factors were given high importance. One, that the Bible is not a detailed textbook of church government, and that any polity must of necessity seek to allow some diversity of views while maintaining unity in the church. And two, that since church governments are largely based on the requirement that God has sovereignty set forth to maintain good order and discipline in all things, the conclusions reached set forth in the committee's view the best possible order and discipline for the Presbyterian Church in America today. It is our hope that those who study the report to the previous General Assemblies and the study papers appended to this report will agree with the following recommendations. As I read the recommendations, I'd like to comment as to where the differences are so that you won't have to turn back and forth. Recommendation one, that the General Assembly affirm that the Scriptures teach that there are but two ordinary and perpetual classes of office in the church, elder and deacon, and that there are within the class of elder two orders, teaching elder and ruling elder. This you might compare with recommendation number two of the majority report of this year. One of the significance is there. It says the distinction, and that I feel is somewhat significant. Recommendation number two, that the General Assembly encourage each Presbyterian session to conduct training shops for elders, deacons, stressing the areas of scriptural requirements for the office, knowledge of Westminster standards and the Book of Church Order, and practical matters of application and shepherding the flock. Mr. Moderator and gentlemen, that is the same wording as recommendation number three in the majority report of this year. And for the sake of time and moving along, number one, there are some differences with number two of the current year recommendations. Recommendation number three from last year is the same as the recommendation found as number four this year. Recommendation number four this year of the fifth assembly report is the same as number five. There's just some numbering differences. It's basically the same. There's some minor word changes there, but it does not change the substance. Recommendation number six of the paper that you're looking at is same as number seven, answering the overture number 11 concerning who may moderate in the negative. Recommendation number seven is the same as number eight of the majority report.
Turn on over to recommendation number 9, found in, on page 198. Recommendation number 9 is the same as number 10. Recommendation number 10 is the same as number 11 of this year. Recommendation number 11 is the same as number 12. Recommendation number 12 is the same as recommendation number 13. Recommendation number 13 is the same, except it would require a change in the date. There are, as you see, the recommendations are, for the most part, the same. However, this report and its supporting papers and its preamble and the material that leads into it, I believe is more, can be viewed, at least in my view, and I'm sure in the some in the view of others, as being somewhat more scriptural, in that it is neither a hard two-office position, that there are only two officers who can only serve in one court, at one court level, nor is it the hard three-office view that there are three distinct, separate titles, offices. Gentlemen, our church has grown, it has functioned with basically this position. Again, there's some matters of interpretation in your minds and in your hearts, but that there are two offices, that of elder and of deacon, that within the office of elder, distinct functions, distinct ordination. It does not preclude anyone from seeking that office and preparing for it. But I think the important thing in dealing with this matter of offices is one word that has just come throughout the 4 years of study. That is effectiveness. Our Lord calls us to be effective. And the structure of our church and the offices of our church are very significant in how we can most be effective.
You're debating
the moderator. I move that this report of the fifth to the fifth General Assembly be adopted and that the recommendations be approved.
All right, you already have made that motion and already has been seconded. Now then, I'm going to explain the procedure that we will follow, and after my explanation, I'm going to allow Mr. Todd Allen's motion. This is used so seldom that there are many of you here today who perhaps have not met in an assembly in which it was used. But at this point, it is appropriate for the assembly to perfect each of the three proposals before it. Every commissioner in the assembly will participate in the perfection of each of the three proposals as though that were the only proposal before the assembly. So that even if you anticipate voting against that proposal in the final vote, you will not be prevented from assisting in the perfection of the package, so that each proposal will be as perfectly prepared or perfected, as Robert calls it, before it's voted upon. When the perfecting process has been completed, then there will be three packages to be voted upon, each with a single vote. Are there any questions as to the procedure that we are going to follow? If the majority report requires perfection at some point, motions can be made, they can be debated, votes can be taken for the perfecting of those points. And then the majority set aside, and the same procedure followed with the first minority, the same procedure followed with the second minority, and this can go on through Saturday if you want. And then we are going to vote on each package as a unit, so that you will then decide whether you accept one of the minority reports or whether you accept the majority report. That's the procedure we're going to follow. Now, my understanding is that Mr. Allen rises for purposes of making a motion that will affect the whole package. Is that correct? I have recognized him. What?
I have a question, Don Dunkley. I have a question on what you just said. It not clear to me, and yet it's very important. When we come to our final vote, are we going to vote first to substitute the third report for the second, and then the result of that for the first, so we won't have to vote for one of the three like we were electing somebody to office out of a whole slate?
The first vote on the final substantive issue will be on the third minority report.
Whether or not to substitute it.
Whether or not to substitute it.
And then whatever is the winner of that will be voted against the first.
Against the second. And then that'll be voted against the majority.
All right. That sounds very good to me.
All right. Is this a question? All right. Number nine.
Tom Llewellyn from Mississippi Valley. I have this question. Do we need to defend each report against having it to become what another report is?
We are not going to defend the reports in the perfecting of them.
Right. And what I mean, however, is that a three-office view may well have five amendments proposed that in their effect would turn it into a two-office view. And then when we get to the two-office view, there may be amendments proposed that would turn it back into a three-office view, and we could go on until 3 years from then.
No, to use an extreme illustration, there may be a point in the three-office view where the editor slipped up and said two instead of three. To perfect that report, someone would notice that mistake, someone would move that it be changed, it would then be brought into conformity with the balance of the report.
So we are to leave them in their prospective positions.
You have to leave them, yes, sir.
Thanks.
But it's a matter of perfecting a motion, not adopting a motion. There's a difference between perfecting one and adopting one. You can debate the perfection of it, that is the perfecting process. If you can avoid supporting the motion in that perfecting process, it's pretty hard to do. And if that's why it isn't done but about once every 20th General Assembly. Now then, we are ready to take... You've been standing back there at 7.
No, I'll wait for Mr. Allen. I have an issue of debate.
No questions. I'm ready to recognize Mr. Allen for a motion. All right, Todd.
This man has his hand up, Mr. Moderator.
You have a question, Nick?
Yeah.
All right, 16.
Mr. Moderator, Nigel Lee of Tallahassee Gulf Coast Presbytery. I endorse the majority report, but my question is one of information on the procedure.
Yes.
Are all delegates allowed to participate in this perfecting process on each of the three reports, or can we only speak once in that?
Yes, sir.
And then, thank you. Then second, the extent to which we participate in the perfecting process, is that simply to take care of typographical errors, or is it to amend the reports in the way we would like to see them if we were to vote in their favor? That's not clear to me.
This is where it becomes difficult. At each point, the moderator will have to determine whether you are perfecting a report or whether you are doing something sneaky.
So now I'd like to know what the intention is of the word perfecting here. Does that
That's
mean...
exactly what I mean. That's
remove typological, typographical errors, or does it mean to improve it substantively?
It means to put that report in the most perfect and acceptable form for a vote.
That doesn't answer the question.
I know I didn't. It's because I saw the Roberts leaves that pretty wide open, and that's the only way I know how to put it. Microphone 13.
Procedural question. Does Roberts permit that we can make a procedural motion whereby we would avoid the process of perfecting a report until we had settled on one? If such a motion were in order, it would greatly save the time of the assembly. Let's vote which one of the three we basically agree with, just debate the basic position of each until we get down to one, and then refine that one, perhaps changing it at some point quite drastically in favor of one of the others. Is such a procedural motion in order?
Uh, Someone,
does Robert permit, are we required to polish all three before we select one?
I don't think Robert deals with what he says, but if he wants to put his emotion, then he should do so.
Mr. Moderator, if I might make my motion, then it can be disposed of. It might take care of the question the brother
has. Wait just a minute. Roberts does not deal with the procedural question you have raised. But if you want to make that as a procedural motion at the proper time, and I hope you'll let us hear this one.
Definitely.
If you want to make that as a procedural motion at some appropriate time, and the Assembly wishes to accept that as its procedure by the proper proportion, then it can do so. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm going to recognize Todd Allen for his motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren. I want to make a motion that we receive the reports of the ad interim committee on the number of church offices as information and register our appreciation for what they have done in their study and dismiss the committee at this time. If I can get a second, I'd like to speak to it.
You have your second.
Was it second?
Hmm?
Mr. Moderator and brethren, as you are aware, as I am, if we get into the perfecting of these reports, we're going to be here an indefinite period of time. Even the committee has not agreed. It took us some months and years even to get to the Book of Church Order where we have it now. I'm happy with it the way it is now. I can live with it the way it is now. And I'm perfectly willing for overtures to come up or for certain recommendations to come from the Constitutional Documents Committee after they have digested all of these reports and hear them at the proper time in the constitutional manner and not get into a constitutional debate at this time. And I hope, brethren, that we can appreciate the committee. They've done an intensive study. They've worked hard. We're thankful for that. I think they're to be commended for the diligence. But, brethren, let's move on. We have a lot of work to do, and I hope you'll adopt this motion.
Before I recognize the next speaker, will Mr. Hathaway please come to the platform? You want to speak? Microphone 7?
Don Clemens, Central Georgia. I would urge the defeating of this procedural motion. It is true that this subject has been studied for 4 years, but it had to be studied for 4 years. There are questions in our assembly that need to be answered. There are overtures and resolutions that have been hanging fire for 4 years. One for 4.5 years since the first assembly in Birmingham. I know there's a lot of work to do, but it's not as much as it may be if we can come to a consensus opinion quickly, and I think Mr. Dunkerley's procedural motion will help that. But brethren, I would urge you not to stick your head in the sand, but to deal with this issue before us responsibly. Our current Book of Church Order is out of accord with the Scriptures at some places. Our current Book of Church Order is out of accord with Westminster at some places. Our current Book of Church Order is even out of accord with itself. We need to do some work. We put it off at Jackson. We put it off at Greenville. We put it off at Smyrna. Now we've come north and we have a little smaller assembly because we're this far north. I would say it's time to do that work, to spend this time. The issues of offices in the church are far-reaching. In fact, they are really historic for the PCA to be involved in this. We have been recognized by those in our sister denominations who are here at Grand Rapids as being the first church to really deal in depth with this subject. And I have heard encouragement on many quarters that we continue it, come to some position. We may be able to break new ground historically in the matter of offices. Not least among that is to raise up the level of ruling elders in Presbyterian churches around the world. I urge you to defeat this procedural motion and come to a conclusion today.
Microphone 6. Hold it.
Harry Schutte, Calvary. I would support this because it just struck me that, and maybe this is burying our heads in the sand, Don, but it just struck me that if we decide on one or the other of these, a large number of ministers are going to have to go to their presbyteries and say, I am out of accord with the Book of Church Order. Some of us perhaps are going to have to leave. Now, if this is burying our heads in the sand, then maybe this might be a good time at this particular period in the history of our church to do a little ostrich work.
Microphone 14.
Oh, Frank Coho from the Ascension Presbytery, Mr. Moderator and Brethren. 2 years ago, when I was on a fellowship work in a university on the problem of hermeneutics, I was unaware that in the fall when I came to last year's General Assembly, I would be amazingly inundated by the same material we all faced in that series of reports. And it set me even thinking further and through the year, working on my own. Why I'm speaking to this is because this was done independently of what turned out, at least in one of the minority reports, plus the information we got here. I would urge the defeat of the amendment proposed because I believe in the majority report we have one of the problems that maybe we do have to confront, and that is, it said it's a difference of hermeneutic. My understanding that there is a reformed hermeneutic, the analogy of faith, is that which would differentiate the fact of the problem of the report, not of hermeneutic, but of presuppositions before using the scripture, as either in defense of why the Westminster Confession is true according to the scripture, or what, as a basis of the scripture, the confession has to say. We have the same problem of historical precedent. Many of us have a romanticist loyalty to dead men, but men who also met in sessions like this, and it was not as golden on its edges in terms of all its proceedings, as history has revealed more and more. I would tend to say also the volume of words is enough to discourage men who are ruling elders, surely, because of the volume of them. But it begins with some of the presuppositions in the majority report in particular that would help us see, and perhaps that's the issue needing to be discussed before anything else is considered postponed, tabled, or done away with for the sake of a pragmatic compromise of peaceability for now, but trouble later. Thank you.
Microphone 9.
Mr. Moderator, Pete Austin, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I have a question, sir. Would the effect of passing this procedural motion be to let stand and to be approved the report that was adopted by the 5th General Assembly, which would it not be? We would just have no recommendation.
Let me ask the stated clerk, would this material this year find its way into the minutes?
Mr. Moderator, that the question is asked for the court as to whether this material would find its way in the minutes. I will ask the assembly about the whole lengthy papers that are attached to it later on, if it is to. But I would assume the report part would find its way into the minutes.
All
but
right.
In answer to Mr. Austin's question as to where we would be, I think we would be still with those various overtures that have been asked unanswered. And nothing actually would be on the record other than that we've made these studies and just received them as information up to this point.
The material contained in the studies presumably could or would or might find its way into the permanent record, but there would be no action of the assembly taken on that material. Microphone 15 has been standing for
George Bringle, Gulf Coast. Fathers, I'm tired too. My committee of commissioners is not yet done, and therefore, from a practical reason, I can see the advantage of this substitute or the motion on the floor at the moment. However, I would like to remind the court that we believe that the scriptures are the only and the sufficient rule for faith and practice. It would concern me that we as a court would go, would make a step that would say in effect that we have not been able to come to terms with the scripture teaching of the practice involved in our church between ruling and teaching elders. I would plead with the court on the principle that scripture is a sufficient rule for faith and practice, that we defeat the motion before us, that in spite of the time and agony that may be ahead, that we establish procedures and we engage in debate.
13.
Moderator, the call for the order of the day.
Not yet. Number 13.
Tier, Sam Mateer, Presbytery Ascension. I'd like to call for the question.
Question has been called for. We have a minute and a half in spite of that clock for the order of the day. The question is whether or not you want to shut off debate on Mr. Todd Allen's motion or whether you want to continue talking about it. If you want to shut off debate on the motion before the House, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Debate is concluded and we are going to vote on Mr. Allen before the order of the day. If you support the motion by Mr. Todd Allen, will you raise your right hand? Just a minute. What was that? I beg pardon? State the motion again. I move that we receive the reports of the ad interim committee on the number of offices as information and register our appreciation for what they have done in their study and dismiss the committee at this time. If you support that, will you raise your hand? Down. If you're opposed to that, will you raise your hand? The motion is, I don't know. That's close. The moderator is very much in doubt. And now it's going to take longer than the order of the day to count it.